you for standing by. All lines will be open throughout today's conference. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Fabio Tozzi.
Thank you very much. So welcome, everybody. Today we're going to have part two of a tech talk that we started, I think, in August 6th, the beginning of August, on the OmegaMon installation and time to value that we worked on. The speaker is going to be also today, Cecile. One thing that I would like to ask you guys, for the ones that are on the bridge line today, is to go on to the web meeting, because Cecile will be doing also some live demos that are, of course, not in the slide deck. So if you, since you're here live today, you have the opportunity to actually follow her through the live demo on the web meeting if you're able to access it. So said that, I'll just hand it over to Cecile. She has control of the screen, and so she can start and walk you guys through this part two of her tech talk. So yours, Cecile.
Thanks, Fabio. Good morning, everybody. I'm Cecile Day. For those who don't know me, I work on the CAD development team. As Fabio had noted, we had done part one on August 6th. So what we're doing today is to pick up from where we left off, I believe, which was slide 10 of the August 6th deck. But I've also updated the deck since then, so hopefully you've received the PowerPoint presentation from Fabio yesterday. We will start off with slide 4, as you see here on the screen. For any of the topics that I'm showing here, whether through the live demo or through the slides, if there are any questions, please, you're more than welcome to bring it up during at that time or wait till the end. Either way is good. So hopefully everyone is seeing slide 4 here. Just to quickly recap, the ZOS, OmegaMon, Tivoli type product families today that use the Zconfig tool, so I wanted to show that here. The next slide is a summary of deliverables. What we had focused on August 6th were in the areas, especially in the last 2 years, and focusing on the 2008 enhancements, and that's where we had finished the presentation. So part two today will be focused more on the 2009 deliverables to date with the Z configuration tool for those that we've already delivered and the ones that we are currently working on. Excuse me for a minute. Proceeding on to slide 6, in 2009 we categorized the different enhancements into different drivers. There's driver 1. Anything that we are seeing on slide 6, if you look at the right-hand corner, there is enablement support. These are all GA today. So this quickly recaps the enhancements that we've delivered from the January PTFs to the April PTFs. These, I will not cover these in detail today, but what I will refer you to is the ITM 622 Go training that was recorded. It was a 3-hour recording done on August 26th, and we have backup slides that point to the playback session. I believe John O'Shea had also mentioned it in his call last week. But to quickly recap what's been delivered for the driver 1 in 2009 to date, we have framework type of configuration enhancement. And we're talking about framework that really covers two main areas, the ICAT framework itself, CI310, and then anything that relates to ITM configuration enhancements from the ZTAMs to anything common across the different agents. By agents, we're talking about the OmegaMon XZs, the IT CAMs, NetView, system automation, as noted in the product family slide that we had covered on slide 4 earlier. So these enhancements that are covered to the left, we've touched on these a little bit on August 6th, so I will not cover that in greater detail. But if you have any interest in anything shown here, please do refer to the ITM 622 Go training. So driver 1 today, these are all GA. You note under enablement support all these PTFs noted here, CI310 and the data server PTF. By data server PTF, we cover from ITM 6.1, any enhancements that are requested to be retrofitted, those are retrofitted all the way back to ITM 6.1 today. So when we're supplying enablement support for the common infrastructure, that usually goes hand-in-hand with about 4 to 5 PTFs, soon to be 5 since ITM 6.2.2 is targeted to go GA on ZOS on October 9th. So any enhancements that we do for the TEMS or any of the common agent configuration framework, those are supplied through data server PTFs since they do own the configuration dialogues for those common components. Any question on slide 6 before we proceed to slide 7? Slide 7, moving forward to the list of 2009 enhancements. Under driver 2-based content, these are split into driver 2A, 2 Baker, and 2 Charlie. These are all GA to date, starting with the August PTF, so NGA last month. We see here, we will see more of this during the demo, but just to quickly recap what the driver 2 list of enhancements had covered. The first one is on the left-hand side, support for version-agnostic product tag indicators, and we'll see some of how this is beneficial to the customer, especially for those customers that are what we call the advanced batch users. This is where we're starting to see some of our support for IS09, as you note here on the upper right-hand corner. That's our enhancement that translates to reducing the requirement to do full product reconfiguration when you're upgrading from the version 4.10s of the Omegamons to version 4.20. So we'll see cover some of that once we get to the upgrade guide. We'll focus on some of our documentation roadmap, and we'll see the benefit of doing that then. 2Charlie allowed the product configuration to accept any product-specific parameters, aka the simulated editor, as we refer to it in-house. We had that support since last year, retrofitted all the way back to ITM 6.1 for the ZTEMs and the common agent. We'll see some of that as well. Phase 3 of that implementation extends that functionality even further for products that have the classic configuration or the 3270 configuration, i.e. your Omegamon and Omegamon 2s. So we'll see some of the prototypes of what that looks like being extended into those products. We also have SMPE job generator support. I will not be able to cover that here, but we have further enhancements for the job generator. In the backup slides are references and links to newsflash tech notes as well as recorded sessions, how to use some of these features. To Charlie, we wanted to provide in version 3.10 release 16, today when we deliver a CI 3.10 PTF, the FMID remains to be HK CI 3.10, but we increment the release for, there is a release 15, release 16 is what's GA today that went GA with the August PTFs. And some of the enhancements that were delivered there is there is a new KCI JALLOC sample and allocation job. We'll see the importance of having done that already as opposed to what we do today, which is documenting a sample hard-coded JCL for a customer to get their INSLIB, INSDATA, INSJAWS, some of the work data sets for ICAT to be allocated. We're automating some of that by supplying an actual allocation job that will allocate all those different data sets in order to get started with ICAT a little faster. We also have some changes to the batch mode navigation, so we'll see some of that once we get to the demo. We also would like to demo today some of the automated IBP configuration batch logger. That's a recent enhancement delivered in the August PTF, building off of the IBP initiatives that we started delivering starting in 2008. So we'll see some of that in the demo. We have ITM 6.2.1 enhancements that focus on the persistent data store. We'll see some of that as well. And as always, anything that we implement in ITM 6.2.1 are automatically forward-fitted to any upcoming versions of ITM. So ITM 6.2.2, which is on ZOS, as John O'Shea noted last week, is a new FMID on ZOS. So HKDS 6.2.2 and Engine HKLV 6.2.2 are coming next month. So any enhancements that I've I'm covering today through the demo, there is an automatic forward fit to that level of the new level of TEMS and common agents. On the right-hand side, it's noted here the different PTFs that deliver the different drivers for 2A, 2B, and 2C. So if you do, if you have the latest PTFs, RSU, the latest RSU, I believe, does not include yet the latest August PTF, so I'd recommend getting those to your customers. Under scope and schedule on the right-hand side, there's common infrastructure PTFs, and those are the CI PTFs and the data server PTFs. For the application enablement support, as noted on the left-hand side, driver 2A and driver 2 Charlie, there's two asterisks to the right of it. Those are the enhancements that are coordinated between not just the framework team, but also with the different application teams that provide application configuration support for the different products. And those are the things noted to the left, an example of which is the simulated editor extended to our products with Classic and COA. So the framework pieces are there in terms of the CI PTFs and the data server PTFs. We're also tracking the deliverables on behalf of the different applications to deliver their product-specific enhancement PTFs that will take advantage of the simulated editor. We'll see some of those prototypes later on, but as an FYI, there's two parts to providing the full support for 2Charlie for this, the simulated editor extension. So we have the framework pieces at RGA. Wanted to make it clear, though, that phase two of that will be the product-specific PTFs that will provide the configuration enhancement. Okay? Proceeding on to slide eight. We have the driver three contents, which we're working on as we speak. We've categorized them between driver 3A and driver 3B. Driver 3A are things that we're targeting to deliver end of October. And so those are what we will mainly demo today, including we'll start talking about introducing some of what we're working on for driver 3B, and that's the PARMLA phase one implementation. So we'll see some of those enhancements as well. Any questions on the last three slides that we covered? Okay. Moving on. We'll get into the live demo here. Starting with ITM 622. These list the different enhancements that were delivered with the ITM 622 configuration. So in ICAT speak, the enhancements that you can do for a ZOS TEMS that's based on 622, as well as any of the Omegamon XZ agents or any of the agents that are TEP-enabled on Z, that take advantage of some of these common agent enhancements. So the first one is, will provide a direct upgrade support coming from any levels of the Omegamon platform noted to the left, so OP360, a.k.a. Kernel Management Server, version 360. We have the migration path in place to do a direct upgrade through ICAT to directly into ITM 622. Same goes with ITM 61 to 622, 62 to 622, and 621 to 622. So those are all supported by the current zconfig tool. Some of the configuration enhancements to support autonomous agent mode, John covered this in great detail last week, so I won't be covering that. We also have the file transfer enabler merge into ITM 622, additional persistent data store support for SMP sharing RTEs, and the official support for language locale 1047 code page. Now, since in the interest of time, I would kindly refer you to the Centra playback URL noted here. This is a recorded session that went into details of how to enable some of these features. Okay. Moving on to slide 11. as noted on slide 8, this is one of the items that we are tracking for. Actually, this one, GA, as part of the driver 2 set of PTFs that GA in August. This is what we call the job logger internally, but this is an extension to the IVP initiatives that we started incorporating into the config tool since 2008. So what we've done further to add on to that is not only do we have an IVP utility that a customer can run before he even starts up the proc, that way he can quickly see what jobs may have been missed or the jobs were run, but let's say it received an E37 as a result of members from missing. So those types of IVP support are already there today. GA as of last year. Building on top of that is we're also capturing the condition codes returned from every product or product configuration job submitted. So that's what I wanted to demo today as part of slide 11. On top of that, we also have a auto IVP run that we will see as a back-end process to the RTE load processing, and we're about to see the reasons for doing it in such implementation. So with that, enablement support CI310 UA48076 is the PTF that GA this enhancement. So if there are no questions on slide 11, let me get to the mainframe. So I went straight into the runtime environment main menu. For those that are not familiar, one of the other enhancements we released early last year, is a README table of contents. So if you do an R next to an RTE, it provides with all of the online printable READMEs that are available today. And one of the items that we have here is the README for the What's New. We also have the README for VTAM Apple ID consideration, a README badge, a README job logger, README IVP. So every README, online README that's supplied by the product or through the common infrastructure, i.e. ICAT infrastructure or data server infrastructure, are available in one menu, one table of contents, and one can go straight into one of them. These are all the every product's What's New README, which normally you would be able to navigate to by going to the main menu of a product, go to their option I, so that you can see their What's New or What's New in their configuration. This global README table of contents allow us to let a customer know what's new in a product configuration before they even start up or before they even configure the products for planning purposes. So one of the items that we've included here are anything common across the different Omegamon XC agents or any of the standalone agents are noted here, and we start listing every product's What's New README. That way you don't have to tell the customer to navigate to the main menu just so you can see that product's What's New change in their configuration. So just FYI that this exists. In configuration What's New, this is a good README to have, and as you note here, this is printable, and it can also be saved. One of the other new features we introduced last year, you can save it to a data set. In batch mode, for customers that are more advanced users, all these What's New README are transportable. We generate a dollar README member as part of the batch run. That way, for transport purposes, we have one composite README and one composite post-ICAT steps into one member that's transportable. So anything you see online here are also generated. There's an equivalent member generated in batch for the composite representatives of each one of these What's New READMEs or our post-ICAT or the complete the configuration READMEs across all the products into one member. So in the main ICAT What's New README, there's always an entry. The very first entry to the top of that README is the latest and greatest enhancements introduced. APAR 0828829, which translates to that PTF, UA48076, introduces the batch job logger. And if a customer had read through this What's New entry, he'll know that in order to get to the IVP logger. You go to the RT utility menu following the books or following the README instructions. This option 11 here has always been there since last year, part of the IVP initiative. So we started supporting an option 11. And there are two things that this function does. The first one is the IVP utility, or the configuration verification program. Option 1 generates an IVP at and XXXX, which is whatever the JCL suffix. If this job gets run, the result of this report, also, by the way, this is also generated in batch for transport purposes. So online, we generate this batch job here that will interrogate the runtime environment. When this job runs, a result of that is the equivalent of the IVP report. There is one created for every RTE. So if we go, the name of my RTE is dollar full. So if I go to the equivalent IVP report that's run for this runtime environment, there are three members that get generated. There's an IVP default. This is the data member, and it's a good reference that shows what jobs are run for this RTE, the different jobs for every product. There's the system automation pound 3 job, which step generated which member in which runtime data set. So if this is a good list of we always get requested for what are the members that are created by the product configuration job. This is a good starting point towards a more detailed parameter map type report. So if I look for KDS-CNB, I know that KDS-CNB was one of the jobs that created it is the TEMS registration job for this agent, and it gets created by Step 2 and to our CANPAR-U data set. So for starters, this is already a good list of members that ICAT creates, whether it's for one product or across the 30, 40 products that are configured in that runtime environment. So taking that further, if you run the IVP report here, the IVP job, part of the report that we will generate is what we call IVP1 full. Full is the JCL suffix for my runtime environment. This is the more detailed report that we recommend as best practice to run before you even start up your procs. So that way you can quickly eliminate any type of config errors, missteps, before you even start up the proc, before, you know, we can catch those a little earlier than prior to having this facility. This report here has four sections. The first one are the required configuration jobs. So based on the list of products configured in this RTE, I have 34 components configured in this runtime environment. I will defer to you to read through the legend, but once we generate the actual report for Section 1, we list all the different product configuration jobs that are for their product-specific components configured in this RTE. Prior to the IVP job logger, what we had provided last year is up to at least the jobs. We'll tell you the status and for which products they're configured for. With the job logger enhancement, we took that further to capture every job name that for which that respective job was submitted for. So CCAPI dollar Baker 2 is the job name. We'll tell you the job number, and we'll tell you the date when that job was submitted, and we'll tell you the highest condition code that that job had produced. So by just looking at the IVP report for this RTE across the 40 components, I can tell right away which ones had problems. Line 6241, got me 37. I need to check that job before I even bring up the procs. One of those, I can tell right away it's the RCAN model by having already looked at the IVP report and telling me that I need to check the RTE load job, which is what this is. I also got a 913, so I need to check the health checker job to see why I wasn't able to update some of those data sets. So this is a good report that shows right away as part of the config process, not deploy process, that you can tell right away and make your corrections before you even bring up the started task. Section 2 is the required sequential data sets. So we'll list all the different runtime libraries that every product configuration job will supply. So I can tell here these are all the Plex level data sets for Megamon XC on ZOS. We'll tell you the status. Okay means the data set exists. We'll tell you the job name that would have normally allocated that job. So if I look for anything, any status with error or missing, line 270 through 272, the NetView agent is one of the components I've configured in this RTE, but this tells me right away, okay, my persistent data store files didn't get allocated. Why not? And this was not on purpose, but to a customer, it tells them right away which job to look for to know why those data sets weren't allocated. Section 3 is along the same lines of data sets and checking if they exist or not. This is for the persistent, for the partition data sets. So Section 2 is the sequential data sets. Section 3 is the partition data sets. And same type of, we'll tell you which data set it is, which member may be missing, and we'll tell you which job you should have been run or should have allocated or created those members. Section 4 is for the VSAM data sets. So this is what's delivered in the August PTF. The IVP report has always been there. What we've added to enhance it further is to capture the different condition codes for every job that was run. One thing we want to show, part of supporting that, is a new data set called instlog. It's a sequential file that gets automatically allocated if the IVP job or if the product configuration job is run, and at the end of it we start appending. How you know that you have the IVP job logger enhancement in place is if you look in inst jobs or you generate one of the jobs for a particular product, let's say DS Pound 3 full, which is the TAMS great runtime members. At the end of every job now, we append the job logger step. And what this does is once this program runs, we will automatically allocate a sequential file called instlog, and he then starts capturing the different condition codes for every product configuration job run. And that's how we're able to populate the IVP report with the respective condition codes from every product configuration job that's been submitted. So that's also one thing you'll start noticing with this enhancement. Another enhancement that we've added for as part of the IVP job logger is we notice that when we mention, especially when I talk to customers, they will refer them to the IVP report, and they say, well, what IVP report? So some customers still are not familiar with it. This enhancement exists. So what we've done is took it further to say not only is it available today under the RTE utility, part of the enhancement is we also started incorporating it as part of the normal RTE load job. As we know, RTE load job has to be rerun after every maintenance when you add a new product to the RTE. So to refresh the environment for environments where you made copies of the targets. So if your customers have a base RTE or a full RTE or sharing with a base or a full RTE, those are considered copies of the targets, and the only way to refresh those environments, if you put on new maintenance, refresh those load modules or what have you, is to load the RTE. So the L step, as we know, is the RTE load step. Part of the job logger enhancement is also to automatically run the IVP job logger step as part of the normal RTE load step. So part of maintenance, we also want to ensure that the IVP job logger step is run automatically, or the IVP job is run automatically. But we do give you the option to run it or not. So what we've done, once a customer does an L or a load next to a runtime environment, will detect if the IVP report has been previously run. If it has been run previously, then we will include a pop-up of sorts that asks the customer, by the way, part of loading the RT, you may also want to rerun or run the IVP job. That way you can, before you even bring up the procs, you can tell which jobs may have had any issues or some parts may have been missing. So I had done an RTE load in one of our test RTEs here. By the way, you see this right-hand corner? One of the recent enhancements as well as part of the RTE load step is we will automatically regenerate the RTE batch decks. There's a good reason why we've done that is for backup purposes. A couple of years ago, we had a customer that lost his backups and for his RTE. So his entire ICAD environment was the ins data were corrupted, the main ins data that where he defines all his RTEs. He had no backups, and thank God for batch. He was using batch. He had a batch parameter deck that represented the whole environment. It was a couple of weeks old, but it was a way for us that was our alternative to quickly rebuild the environment without backups. We reran the KiCat B jobs in order to recreate the 30 RTEs that he had within a couple of days, as opposed to having to do those manually through the interactive mode. So to protect the customer, we've added further code in the RTE load step that says, let's automatically always refresh your batch decks, your RTE batch decks that represent your RTE. That way it gives you a choice to rerun, to reconfigure your RTE through batch, and you always have the latest and greatest configuration values for that represent that RTE. So you'll see this message noted here. What all that's doing is we're refreshing your runtime environment batch parameters that represent that RTE in InstJob. Because you could be changing values in interactive if you don't regenerate your RTE batch stacks. You don't have the latest and greatest values. So we're doing that automatically for the customer. Anyway, that's a side note there. Proceeding forward, I had done an RTE load here. This is the RTE load job, customer refresher, copies of your targets. Once APF3, there's a new panel that we will present that only gets generated if we detect that the IVP job had been run at least once. It gives you the option to view the latest IVP report for this RTE. If I say yes, proceed forward, then it presents that same report that we had seen. Earlier, we had gone through it just 3.4. This one is more presented to the customer online, so we can see right away that line 58, the RTE load job, got an E37. Okay? Going back to the presentation, that was slide 11. Are there any questions on the automated IVP job logger? Okay. Proceeding on to slide 12. The allow the product configuration to accept any product-specific parameters, a.k.a. simulated editor, or the way we present these those enhancements in the TAMS and Common Agent, going back to the configuration here. Let me do a configuration of this RTE here. The specify non-standard parameters is the official name of it, as we reference it in the What's New README, as well as in our common config books and in the ZTAMS configuration guide. If I go to option I, which is the same README that I had gone through earlier, through the README table of contents, there is an entry in here for non-standard. So we've expanded the support. We've introduced this in ITM 6.1 and forward-fitted all the way to 6.2.2. Phase 3 of that is taking that further to support wildcards. Previously, once we go to, if a customer follows the direction, he goes through the option 2, F5 in order to navigate to the simulated editor facility, as we're seeing here. I've done a couple of F5s, which will now take us to that specify non-standard parameters, there are 6 panels, i.e. we accommodate for 18 slots, 18 overrides that a customer can use to insert, add, replace, delete parameters that, let's say, level 2 or level 3 would ask them to go insert that parameter in your ENB file. And I've noted here just some examples. Some of these are some of the more popularly added manual tweaks. Prior to Simulated Editor, these were all done manually. So as a result, we regress your manual updates the next time they regenerate the runtime members. So the first example here is an example of an insert. So KDS and CS listen. Let me split screen here between the panel and the actual job that gets generated for the temps. So if I go to DS pound 3 full, which is the equivalent of the runtime members for the temps for this RTE, if I go look for NCS listen, it gets inserted on line 484 of the KDS ENV member in RCAN PARU. So you can kind of see what this facility does. It allows for an add, an insert, or a replace, or delete even. And we'll see some of those examples. The next 2 slots here is an example of a replace. If I specify, we know about 350 compat mode. We've got tech notes written on this, how to manually delete that for now, but here's a facility that will always remember your settings to not have to regenerate the 350 compat mode for the OmegaMon XC on ZOS products. So this says this is the old value as ICAT would generate it, whether it's primary or the backup proxy, and replace it with this value, which means don't write the 350 compat mode in the ENB file. Other examples, again, we've done several T-texts on this and tech notes as well, so I will refer you to those details in the backup slide for more information. Other examples we've noted here, this is an example of, in terms of the ZOS support for distributed hot standby, let's say you have a Z-based remote temps and you want to be able to set up a secondary hot standby distributed hub for your environment. That's possible today starting in ITM 6.2.1. Prior to ITM 6.2.1, there were other parameters that you had to enable in the ENB file. So starting in 6.2.1 at least, it's as easy as inserting a second entry for the distributed hot standby hub. And taking that further, instead of doing it manually, here's a facility that has that flexibility to allow you to insert that second hot standby hub entry in your remote's KDCS site file. So that's what this is doing. If I split screen and I look for KDCS site, line 742 was automatically inserted by the config due to the simulated editor facility override. Other examples? We've heard of ephemeral. There are some customers that have a need for the ephemeral keyword, and this is one way they can do their inserts of that keyword in the KDE transport for, in this case, the TEMS. Same facility is available on behalf of all the common agent. Any agents that can run in their own agent address space has the facility to provide, to specify these similar overrides on their configuration. These are other examples. This is if you're using ops log and message mode KMS as a way to override this way of ops logging. This is an example of you really want to turn off SNA. There are caveats in doing that because we do have products that require SNA to be enabled at the TEMS. But if you're guaranteed that you don't have some of those products and you really do want to turn off the SNA for your Z remote temps because your hub is on distributed, this is one way to delete. This is an example of a delete that says if the DS pound 3 job generates this parameter, don't specify a value, a new value, which really translates to our delete function that says don't write that out in KDCS site for the remote temps. Another example of a delete is we had the April PTFs that started removing the maximum parameter, one of the engine PARM storage parameters, in a part of KPP CISN startup file. If you don't have the April PTS, what we want to do is have Engine automatically figure out the storage requirements. So we don't want an external parameter that caps the maximum storage. So a way to do that is not externalize that parameter. So per ITM team's direction, they wanted us to remove those in the generation of the KDSSN file or KPPSSN file. Till you have those PTFs that officially remove the parameters, here's one way to tweak it during using the current simulated editor that says, if you see this parameter as maximum, don't generate it. Other examples. Special parameters recently introduced by Engine. If you have that specific requirement, here's one way to insert that, not just for the TEM, but also for the Omegamon 2 for MVS product. And other examples. Note that the same exact facility today are available in batch. So if we go to the RTE batch parameter that represents this RTE, I do an exclude find on non-standard. So here's KDS, which means these are the data server-related overrides that equate to those simulated editor parms that I've specified on the panel. Each one is represented, so we see here this is the KDS MCS listen. So it's all fully supported in both modes, batch and interactive. For an agent, the same facility is available. So let's go to one sample, let's say CICS. So option I, same as the what's new README, same as we've seen for the README table of contents. There's a what's new README for every product. This one is specifically for every agent has its own product-specific what's new README, configuration-related READMEs. At the bottom of every one of these agents are what we call the common. These are the ones, once you see those, you know that these are controlled by the data server FMID. So one of the items that we introduce here is the same facility, the expanded support for non-standard facility, which tells you that you go through the specify agent configuration navigation in order to get to these panels. If we follow the direction of the book or the what's new README, one can go then navigate to option 3, which is our option for navigating, telling the config that you want this agent to run in their own agent address space. If I turn panel ID on or off, KAG, now you start seeing that, oh, these are common agent panels, which this is your first trigger that, oh, these are controlled by the data server FMID. So CAG, P2 panel, allows for the same facility. Let me get out of split screen here so you can see the full screen. There's an F5 advanced key. That's not new, but the navigation will tell you that to get to the simulated editor, one would go to F5, and there's this F5 key that was introduced last year that takes you to the same identical override parameters that you see for the TEMS. So you see here, this is an example of an override for the KIX. The KIX Omegamon XC product has its own KPPS site file or GLB site that text. It has to be identical to the TEMS KDCS site. So this is one way to override allowing the agent to support the hot standby hubs on distributed that your Z remote TEMS just enabled. So this is one way to add that second entry pointing to the hot standby hub TEMS. This is also a way to override, let's say, autonomous agents, which in ITM 62, I believe, is enabled by default by the ITM code. A way to override that is, if you really want to turn it off, is through the simulated editor facility or insert this parameter, IRA autonomous mode, in the ENV file of that agent. I wanted to show examples. There are 6 slots available for each one of the agents. each one of them get to have six overrides. This is panel two of two, which means there are six overrides for per agent that we support in config today. In batch, this is also fully supported, so going back to that same RTE batch parameter deck that we're working with, dollar full, if I go to KC5, which is the KIX agent, this is the equivalent of that override for KPPS site. I haven't regenerated my batch parameter deck yet, but this would normally equate to the IRA autonomous agent parameter that I just specified just now. But these are all fully supported in batch. So what I've shown so far, RGA to date, so what we're taking further is we recently added in the August PTF the ability to do wildcarding. And those are easily beneficial, more beneficial for products with classic configuration, let's say CICS, CB2, IMS, ZOS. Those are products with subsystem type configuration that we're implementing the same look and feel as we've done for the TAMs and the common agents. If you go to option I, we will also have an entry that introduces the simulated editor, which tells you to go to option one, which will now have its a new F5 facility, which takes you to the same name panel, specify non-standard parameters, but this time we're tracking this on behalf of the 3270 configuration. So from customer feedback, we know that some of the more popularly tweak parameters for the KC2s, KI2s, KM2s, and KD2s are your storage settings. And then for some products, LROs, user, those types of parameters that today are hard-coded in the configuration. So what we're introducing, the framework code is already there to allow for wildcarding. This particular example that I have here, I have four sets of kicks. Not regions, four sets of copies of the classic and COA started tasks, which each one can track up to 50 kicks regions, as we know. But this is a way to override limit, a way to override their user profile, which is today hard-coded as slash I. We can override that to slash C. LROs, which is not currently externalized in the config, this is one way to customize that to 9999, if that's your preference. Hard-coded default today is 256. And the key to making this work effectively for products with subsystem-type config is to support wildcarding, which the framework side of that, we already support that. Now we just need to coordinate with the rest of the product teams to start supplying their enablement pieces to be able to support a panel like I'm showing here. So an example of when this gets generated, if I split screen to generating the C2 pound 3 job, for example, since I'm in the Amagamon 2 for CICS, if we start seeing the power of how those overrides are used, if I look for KC2 SIS, so that's the SIS end file, as we know for those with subsystems, you'll have up to 99, up to 16. So in my case, I believe I've defined up to four different subsystem classic COA started tasks. So we only have limited slots, I believe 12 per product. So the wildcarding comes into play so that KC2SIS00, 01, 02 are more than covered by just doing one entry. You can filter it if you want just one specific region to use those settings, but this one allows you, if you wanted to apply to all four classic sorted tasks, then one entry will take care of overriding, let's say, the limit. So this one here, so look for, let's say, the limit parameter, one of our, from looking at examples. Line 186 was by default always generated as 17X. So for customers that aren't bumping those up higher per level 2 or level 3 direction, instead of asking the customer to do it manually in the RCAN PAR-U, tell them to go through the simulated editor once these are supported by the product-specific enhancements. And we are tracking those as we speak for delivery. And we'll have a common tech note that will track the different APARs, the different PTF numbers, once we get these supported by the different 3270 config. So this is just one example how this can be used. Okay, any question on the extension of the simulated editor facility and the wildcarding support as covered on slide 12? Okay. We also are building off of the IVP initiatives from 2008, the IVP job logger that we just released last month. We're also integrating with health checks. So part of we're supplying two of the more popular health checks are APF authorization and started task functions. So we're building the health check utility that will create those, not just the health check REX programs, but also the utility that will create those elements so that the customer can use these health checks. So we're starting out with the STCs and the APF. So this is not GA yet, but just an early look of what that's going to look like. Under the RTE utility, there will be a new option called Generate Health Check Configuration Numbers. What this will do is it will ask you to, I mean, we've always had a facility to generate the started task copy jobs. I mean, for every product, we know exactly what, at this point, once 5PF3 back, we have these two options. That's been there for a number of years. But this is where it gives the customer the option to copy all of the customized started tasks, customized VTAM agent nodes for the entire RTE through these sample jobs that we'll create. So we'll create a composite IEB copy step that covers STCs and VTAM nodes to the SysOne libraries of choice. So those are available today. So option 13, in order for us to create a health check listing for the list of started tasks that are customized in that RTE, we'll ask the customer, hey, do you want to generate the copy job that will copy the started task from ArcanSAMU to your SysOne Proc Live? I won't do it in this go-around, but if I had done that, it creates a member in Arcan ParU. Let me go to the RTE that's the Arcan ParU data set that is tracking this particular runtime environment. There's a new member that we will create by default based on the customized started task names across the different product components configured in this RTE. So this is the persistent data store, this is end-to-end, this is the candle subsystem, this is the temp. So these are based on my file tailored names or customized names. So that member gets created by this new utility coming up that we're targeting 2GA in early November. And this one will then create these two options here. We'll create a job that will then create the different control members and jobs for in order to get your two health checks for starting out with health started tasks and APF authorization. If I go to, let's say, option 2, a new CB pound K job gets created. So the first one will generate the step that generates the health check for that list that we already saw. That's what step 1 will do. Step 2 will then create the health check definitions in Arcan ParU. So we'll supply a couple of new health checks that one can copy over to the system libraries, et cetera, et cetera. So there will be proper documentation in place that will direct what to copy over, et cetera. So that's currently being worked on, targeted as a CI 310 PTF in the October-November timeframe. And as we've already have the APARs reserved as well as the PTF numbers reserved, so just stay tuned when those PTFs will become available. And these are all part of what we're tracking for driver 3A. Bob, yeah, this is probably a good time to stop since we have a couple of minutes left to see if there are any questions from the forum here.
Yep. All right, I guess not. So this is, I think we can call it a day for the day. And let me thank Cecile for this second presentation that he shared with us at the Tech Talks. And I'll thank you all guys too for your for attending. I don't know if Cecile, if you want to spend the last couple of minutes on PharmLive?
Sure, thank you.
We can run a little over. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you, Fabio. If we refer back to the driver three base contents, we have 3A and 3B. So we have our sets of deliverables we're tracking for 3A. For 3B, we're actively working on, as we speak, on what we're calling the PharmLive Phase 1 solution. This is our way to have an alternate way to configure the products as opposed to using the interactive mode or the batch mode. So this is not intended to phase out ICAT as we know and love today. Those will be continue to be supported. This provides an alternative way for customers that are used to the IBM way of, okay, give me sample jobs. So we're working on now as an alternate configuration mode to the current Zconfig tool that aligns itself more with other ZOS product installs. So the ZOS road ahead of config is PharmLive. So as this is, we have a phase one. We're calling it phase one because in terms of proof of concept, we're enabling the first set of four products as our pilot products to enable this. And these are the Omegamon, the TEMS, obviously, the Omegamon XC on ZOS, CB2, IMS and CICS are our first four pilot products. By phase two, which is in targeted for next year, once we prove the concept that this is the direction of, once we fine-tune the design details, especially with the beta customers that we have lined up, we're going to implement the support for the remaining products. But for starters, the pilot products are KIC, CB2, IMS, and ZOS. There are two types of, when we talking about PharmLive, we have the install and the config side of it. Alongside with PharmLive Phase 1, we're also supplying the Tivoli Server Pack, which is currently being worked on today. And we have put out the ZTech Advisor article in there that once the Tivoli Server Pack is available, we have taken some best practices in terms of a closer look at maintenance strategies. When we're talking Tivoli Server Pack, right away customers think, oh, I can't use that. That requires a brand new CSI. That is true, but one can really reuse a server pack in general in terms of maintenance strategies by, sure, go ahead and put it on a brand new CSI, brand new target. And although you have your existing environment installed, one can easily, there's an unlock facility today in the current config tool that allows you to point to any targets that you need to point to. So in terms of maintenance strategy, put on the new Tivoli server pack that has a pre-applied maintenance in it, and just switch your targets that you're pointing to and reload your RTEs, and especially for environments that are very back-leveled in maintenance. So we've taken a closer look at how one can reuse a server pack that would normally be used in brand new installs and reusing that in terms of maintenance. On the config side, for PharmLive Phase 1, we will be providing sample members and configuration jobs, just like how PharmLive works today. So they work on samples. So we'll deliver that alternate configuration method to as opposed to configuring the products through configuration through ICAT today. And the PharmLive approach will supply the members as if the same identical members as if you had gone through an ICAT batch mode or an ICAT interactive mode. And the difference would be those same members would now be supplied as samples in the target through the PTF that we will be supplying. And there will be other parts to that, like the JCL and some of the REX programs. We're targeting for phase one for December, and it just depends on some of the, we're going beta towards end of October. early November, and based on feedback that we received from the beta customers, it, you know, we're targeting a December GA, but it may extend further depending on how important certain features that come out of the beta feedback. So if you know of customers or if you're interested in seeing what we have so far for PromLive Phase 1, we'll set up a separate ZTech talk that focuses only on PromLive and how we're proceeding with the design and how this ties in to some of the overall Omegamon roadmap. So that's what we have. Let us know. We have Fabio here. We have Joe Winderton also online here. If you're interested in seeing what getting your customer into joining the beta program, please do let us know. Otherwise, we can set up a different ZTech talk that covers and focuses on the PromLive Phase 1 solution.
All right. Thank you, Cecile. This is, of course, also for all of you that will be hearing this record, that, again, if you have any question on this, you can drop me an email, drop Cecile an email, or even of more interest, if you have customers that think would be particularly interested into being exposed to the PromLive solution, let us know, and we will pull them in. All right, so I guess this is it for today. Thank you again, Cecile, and thank you all for participating.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.